You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
No leaks in our schedule, that's for sure. Welcome in to a Wednesday midweek edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for sports, KGYM. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me in just a moment from the back porch on the sunny southwest side here today. And Kate with us today.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. Sitting in for Isaac, who was doing duty down in Iowa City. He was at the Jan Jensen news conference, the introductory news conference. So got you to sit in. You either volunteered or you drew the short straw. I'm not sure which one you did.
Me neither.
So welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Good to have you here today. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. That's phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and talk to Kate, 319-366-1600. Lot to cover. Jan Jensen's introductory news conference. Caitlin Clark's opening game in the WNBA last night as the Indiana Fever fell to the Connecticut Sun last night. NFL schedule coming out tonight. We're on the eve of the PGA Championship and a whole lot more. Again, 319-366-1600. If you want to reach out and talk it over with the program here today. And Mark, pleasant good afternoon to you.
And to you too and everyone out there. And certainly is a wonderful day and hopefully it sticks for the state track meets this coming week.
Starting tomorrow, as a matter of fact. This is about Chamber of Commerce weather. I mean, you can't get better than what we have today.
Maybe a little bit, but not much.
That's pushing it. That's pushing it a little bit. But let's get right into it. To start off the show here today, Jan Jensen at 1 o'clock today met the members of the media down in Iowa City as her introductory news conference as the brand new women's basketball coach taking over for her longtime friend, Lisa Bluter, who coached her at Drake. Was alongside for many, many years, a good part of the last 2.5 to 3 decades or so. And as you might well imagine, a lot of interesting queries today, Mark. Nothing, I don't think, really earth-shattering coming out of the news conference that concluded a couple of hours ago. Just very interesting to hear, Jan. I feel great that she picked up that job, and on what she may do to tweak things a little bit. Not much, though.
The most famous person from Kimbleton, Iowa, right?
Yeah, I got to think so.
But, yeah, Jan Jensen spoke for about 45 minutes after being introduced by athletic director Beth Getz. And Getz, among other things, said it was a new era and a seamless passing of the guard on the Iowa women's basketball coaching position. And as you would expect, Jan Jensen, gracious, pleasant, although she does know the challenges out there. But if you heard her on this show, on which she's appeared many times or elsewhere, you know Jan Jensen's personality. And that shone through this afternoon. Among other things, she said, obviously, was this is her dream job and dream title, and felt it was kind of a reward for the loyalty she has given to Lisa Bluter and the program, and parenthetically said, you know, there's been double-digit head coaching reach-outs, so to speak, in her career, and a couple, three kind of serious, but about 8 years ago, she decided this was what she was going to continue to do. And in terms of quote-unquote news, Jensen said Lisa Bluter will stay on in some capacity, either as an advisor or consultant, what have you. Sounds like Lisa Bluder will be at least part-time around the program. The assistants are not set. There is one to be hired, maybe one or two elevated, but the job postings need to go through that cycle. And in terms of present players and recruits, Jan Jensen said she spent about 7 hours on the phone on Monday visiting with those young women and is confident everything will be intact in that regard. And above all else, she says, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. There'd be a few different things, but why try to reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, interesting. She mentioned that it is her dream job, and what made it even better was the fact that she does not even have to move, which got a little bit of laughter from the assembled media down in Iowa City today. And maybe the only movement she will have is to the corner office at Carver Hawkeye Arena that is currently Lisa's. Or I don't know how they're going to work that out, but I'm sure they got that all taken care of. That's a low priority problem right there. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what person comes in as far as to fill out the coaching staff is concerned. You got to think that Jenny Fitzgerald has a really good chance, obviously, to stay, maybe move up into the chair that Jan Jensen occupied. I know she talked a lot about, you mentioned Abby Stamp, the former Abby Emmert, earlier on today. That might be certainly, I think, a possibility there. And who else is going to join this staff? I know there's been talk about the former Randy Peterson, who's had several coaching stops. Randy Henderson now, married with Duez Henderson, of course. That would be, I think, an ideal fit. But you never know how, you know, you just don't know. You just don't know because that certain, at least for her situation, does she want to leave her present job at this time? I don't know. But it's going to be a big hire, and it's the first hire that Jan will have, you know, I guess independent of Lisa Bluder, although you mentioned, and it does not shock me at all that Lisa Bluder is going to hang around the program in whatever capacity. I mean, you take a look at some of history. I mean, certainly, you know, in football, obviously, like a Barry Alvarez hanging around before he became athletic director at Wisconsin. I mean, it's just that's what coaches do, Mark. They have an indelible print on the program, and they're going to hang around that program.
They do, and Jensen, understandably, said she hasn't had a great deal of time since the first part of the week to, you know, nail down a lot of things, including the structure of the assistant's staff. Although she was asked how her role would change. Of course, being an associate head coach are two different things. But Jensen said she didn't think what she does will change a whole lot in terms of on the court instruction and recruiting. But she expressed high loyalty to the people she's worked with, from Jenny and Abby Stamp and others. She made a point more than once to talk about those folks. And again, there is a job posting out there, but more than anything, Jensen hasn't really had time to sort everything out, answer all the well-wishers and whatnot, and she's really been concentrating on the players who she will have next year.
Yeah. You can hear it from Jan Jensen. Just keep it right here. Spencer's working on getting those sound bites ready to go, and he'll have them between 4 and 6 with Spencer on Sports, coming up for you right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. Text line if you'd like to weigh in on the introductory news conference from Jan Jensen today. And Jan is forever the optimist. I think I would call her, knowing Jan as long as I have, a realistic optimist, Mark, because she's one that knows, like you mentioned, the job in front of her, but certainly, I don't even think the glass is half full. The glass is three quarters to completely full when you talk with Jan Jensen. And I think that is exactly what you need as far as a head coach, no matter if it's women's basketball or men's basketball or football or field hockey or whatever the case may be. It does not matter. I think players gravitate toward her, and I think players are going to continue to gravitate toward her. And like she mentioned, not going to reinvent the wheel, certainly. You're going to see maybe a few different wrinkles. Personally, I think you're going to see a little bit of a different offense. Sans Caitlin Clark next year has to be because of everything, you know, a lot of the freedom they gave Caitlin in the 4 years that she was in Iowa City. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. That first preseason game, that exhibition game, if you will, and then the season opener when Iowa takes the court under Jan Jensen. And it's going to be different. Certainly not seeing Lisa Bluter on the bench. That's going to be the biggest change, I think.
No question. And Jensen acknowledged the fact that it is going to be somewhat of a rebuilding year with you can't lose a class of seniors that included Clark and Kate Martin, two players in the WNBA, and Gabby Marshall and Sharon Goodman and excuse me and whatnot. But at the same time, she said, I want to win. I want to win championships. This program has won three straight Big Ten tournament titles. Obviously, the last two championship games in the NCAA tournament. She's not going to take her foot off the pedal, but it will be a lot different in terms of her being the head coach, the role of assistants, the melding of the players returning like Stolke and Affolter, melding them with the transfer and Lucy Olson and the recruits coming in and the rest of the players on the team. So yeah. In that regard, yeah, it's going to be different, but I don't think she's any less motivated to win.
Let's not forget as well, there are three really, really good women's basketball programs entering the Big Ten next year as well. USC, UCLA, both in the, I saw, and again, take this for what it's worth, in the early, early preseason top 25, pre-preseason top 25, both USC, in fact, USC preseason number one. In this particular, I think it was On Three when we talked with Kyle Huseman yesterday on their website. USC is number one and UCLA is in the top 10. So you take a conference that's pretty difficult in its own right in the Big Ten, and you're going to make it even tougher next year when you add those teams.
No question about it. And some of those teams Iowa fans will see in Iowa City and some they won't. We talked about the women's schedule last week a little bit, but again, I think Jensen will embrace the challenge. She knows it's a different landscape in college athletics and certainly in women's basketball with the expansion of the Big Ten and transfer portal and everything else going on. But I was thinking to myself, I mean, maybe something clicks with you, but how many college programs does a head coach retire and have someone like Jan Jensen, a 20-year assistant, to hand the keys over to?
Not many.
I mean, not many. I can't think of one, obviously, offhand. This is a unique situation.
319-366-1600, not only unique to women's basketball, but I think unique to pretty much any sport out there. And yeah, that's hey, if anyone can come up with it, I know our listeners can come up with the answer to that question, Mark. So if they have it out there, let us know on the text line at 319-366-1600. We're going to get to an Emil Sideway scoreboard update. We're going to do that coming up here in just a little bit. And then we will talk about Caitlin Clark and her debut last night. We will do that afterwards as interesting night. A lot of people, I'm sure, a lot of eyeballs on the WNBA as far as their first night of competition last night is concerned. There you go, Mark. We got our first one, 32-63, Tennessee, when Pat Summitt stepped down.
All right. I'm not familiar entirely with the assistant head coach that Summit had and her pedigree or his pedigree. I'm not sure which.
Her, and they just fired that coach, by the way, in the offseason. Yeah. Thank you very much, 3263, for that. Cyclone Tim weighing in. The Bill Fenley probably happy to see Lisa and Caitlin leave. He was having some issues beating them. Well, a lot of people had issues beating them. Bill Fenley had some great things to say at the Cyclone tailgate tour. And we said it yesterday a little bit. Bill Fenley and Caitlin and Lisa Bluter have butted heads on the recruiting trail, on the court. But I think they have a lot of respect for one another. And as I mentioned yesterday, Bill had a lot of good things to say when they were in Cedar Rapids on Monday night down at the Veterans Coliseum when he was asked about Lisa Bluter and the sudden retirement out there. UNLV coach, says Jeff on the text line. Was Tom Kelly to Tom Garden hire? Was that the way the Twins went, Mark?
Yes, I believe so.
And Gardy
but
was.
But it wasn't 20 years.
No. I mean, there have been many times that the keys have been given to an assistant that have been there for 4, 5, 6 years or so. I don't know the longevity between two coaches like Lisa Bluter and a Jan Jensen. So I think that's the point you were making there.
Yeah, it just makes it unique and unusual and for better or for worse. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it can't be all bad, right?
Cannot be all bad. 319-366-1600. As I mentioned, we're going to get to an Evil Sideaway scoreboard update for you coming up in just a little bit and your latest meet and greet contest word of the day. We will get to that coming up. Talk about Caitlin Clark's debut last night. Give our picks sure to go wrong for the PGA. And, of course, tonight we've got the NFL schedule coming out at 7 o'clock. We'll get to all that here. But, Mark, I wanted to get to this before we get to you and the scoreboard today. Some Major League Baseball going on this afternoon as well. It's leaks is the term of the day, mainly due to the NFL, but we're also starting to get college football starting times and other information as far as college football games are concerned. Found one out this morning that it doesn't surprise me at all. It at first infuriated me, Mark. It doesn't anymore because I get it. You got to have programming to fill the endless number of hours and the endless streaming platforms. We'll get to that coming up after 3:30 as well. But it was announced earlier today, or I guess leaked earlier today, that the Iowa football team is going to play another Friday night game coming up in the Big Ten this year. Do not know the exact opponent. It will be a road game, so you can try to figure that one out if you can. There aren't many, I mean, what, 3-4 possibilities out there. It will be a road game, but you can make your plans. There will be another Friday night Iowa football game this year.
It was inevitable this year or next year, and Kirk Ferentz obviously doesn't like it. Other coaches don't like it as well, but it's an inevitability when the television dictates Friday night games, and many are very loyal and justifiably so to high school football on Friday nights, but others aren't, and they embrace our games all week long. Maction, we know about Maction, and we're going to get Friday night football from start to finish this college football season. But at least, Kirk, you're not playing 8 days a week like the Chiefs, right?
6 days a week. We will get to the Chiefs coming up in just a little bit. You know, you put out the bat signal to our great listeners out there, and they come up with great answers and responses that, you know, on the just going off the cuff, doing the program, it's hard to talk, think about what we're going to do next, chew gum at the same time. I'm not chewing gum, Kate. I am not chewing gum, okay? You attest to that. But 2401 saying, and this is maybe the best example there is out there, Jed Heathcote to Tom Izzo. That is what you're looking for, Mark.
Bingo.
That's a good one. Gary Cunningham, another one, says 9049. 6608 saying it bluntly, most assistants don't usually have the loyalty to a head coach to stay for 20-plus years. Very true. Very, very true. And 9843 with another one. How about Bill Guthridge, who took over after Dean Smith and took the Carolina Tar Heels to the Final Four twice before he announced his retirement, the late, great Bill Guthridge over there. So, yeah, there are a few examples out there.
Yeah, under different circumstances, maybe Bill Frieder and John Beilein. That was a totally different situation as Frieder got shown the door. But, yeah, I love Heathcote and Izzo.
Yeah, that's a great example. Great, great example out there. 3:26, we're going to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. We'll come back. We'll talk about Caitlin Clark's debut in the WNBA for the Indiana Fever last night. But let's get it to Mark for a scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from the Lindale Mall. And, of course, next to the Home Depot. Beautiful night to go out on the patio tonight. Monday through Saturday, they're open from 4 through 11 o'clock. Huge range of burgers and fries. They are all made fresh daily, plus salads, pizza, pasta, soup, and great, great sandwiches. Check out their entire menu online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
Major League Baseball Finals. I had to pause a minute to make sure, but the White Sox have polished off the Washington Nationals 2-0. Three other finals in the books. Baltimore defeated Toronto 3-2. Miami shut out Detroit 2-0. And Milwaukee overpowered Pittsburgh 10-2. Everything else a little later on. Mount Mercy's baseball team has been eliminated from the Lincoln Regional and NAIA competition. The Mustangs defeated Doan of Nebraska 5-3 last night, but today dropped a 4-2 decision to Oklahoma Science and Arts. The Mount Mercy finished 2-2 in the regionals. The Cedar Rapids Colonels defeated the Quad City River Bandits 3-0 today in a noon game out at the stadium. Tomorrow, the Colonels will face Steven Zobach for the Quad City River Bandits. Steven is the son of Kirk Zobach, a 1978 Cedar Rapids Jefferson grad and former Jayhawk player, a fourth rounder out of Cal. Fran McCaffrey has gotten a commitment from the transfer portal. His name is Sado Traore. He performed last year at Manhattan, where he averaged 12 points and 8 rebounds per game as a freshman. He is a 6'7". Forward
for the Manhattan Jaspers, by the way. Extra credit right there.
You just wanted to throw in the nickname, didn't
I?
You?
I did. Greg and Epworth, thank you. Bo Ryan to Greg Gard. Boom. How did we miss that one?
Bingo.
It's next door, right across the river. Way to go. Thank you very much, Greg, for listening to the show and letting us know about that particular passing of the torch. We're going to take a break, come back, and we'll talk and dive into Caitlin Clark's first WNBA game when we return right after this, plus more. You're listening to a Wednesday midweek edition of the Gym Class. Back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we're going to have a mild afternoon, but as we head into this evening, clouds are going to be taking over, and overnight, a few spotty showers are possible. Some scattered showers and a few storms are expected as we head into early Thursday morning, with most of the rain done by midday. We'll have a nice afternoon with temperatures back into the 70s. We'll then have sunny skies and warmer weather for Friday through the weekend, highs in the upper 70s and low 80s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Have you ever seen a painting you love, like a beautiful landscape with majestic snow-capped mountains, deep green pine trees surrounding a tall rock ledge, with a waterfall falling into a deep blue lake? I always wished I could paint scenes like that, but I had no talent and couldn't even draw a stick figure. But my life changed when I learned a simple 400-year-old technique from the old masters. In no time at all, I was doing beautiful paintings, thanks to PaintByNote.com.
Hi, my name is Eric Rhodes, inventor of the PaintByNote system. I had no talent, yet today my paintings are selling in art galleries. With my PaintByNote method, I can teach anyone to paint. I've taught thousands, and I can teach you too. I guarantee it. Soon, you'll be impressing your friends with your beautiful paintings. I'd like to give you a free lesson to prove it. No credit card required. Just go to PaintByNote.com. Like a music note, paint by note. For your free lesson, go to PaintByNote.com.
You've got it all planned. Spring cleaning, then off to the landfill and recycling building on Saturday, right? Hang on. You need an appointment if you're coming Saturday. Don't have one? No dice, pal. So plan ahead with a Saturday appointment or bring your stuff to the landfill and recycling building on County Home Road Monday through Friday between 7 and 4. You never need an appointment on weekdays. Simplify spring cleaning. Visit the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency weekdays or make your Saturday appointment early. Details at solidwasteagency.org.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Just in time for grilling season, 1600 ESPN is giving you the chance to fill your freezer full of meat with our Meet and Greet contest. Today's winning code word is sauce, S-A-U-C-E, sauce. Enter that right now at kgymradio.com for a chance to win $500 in meat. Plus, you'll also be entered for a chance at $5,000 as part of a national giveaway. Again, enter the word sauce right now at kgymradio.com for a chance to win.
3:32, welcome back. It is a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Coming up tomorrow, we'll get into the Preakness. Barry Abrams will join us from ESPN, covers horse racing for the mothership, and we will talk about the Preakness, which will be without its favorite, who had to drop out today due to a fever, Muth. So somebody else other than the favorite is going to win Saturday at Pimlico in Baltimore. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. That's a phone line as well. Like to pick up the phone and give us a call. Again, that's 319-366-1600. I don't know if any preliminary numbers are in yet, Mark, as far as eyeballs tuned in to ESPN2 last night and the doubleheader as far as the opening night of the WNBA 2024 season is concerned. But I would imagine that number very big here in the Midwest and in the state of Iowa. A 92-71 victory for Connecticut over the Indiana Fever. And a game which the Fever went out 4-0. And then it was all Connecticut after that. And many of the eyeballs were on number 22, wearing the white jersey last night for the Indiana Fever. And I guess a mixed bag debut, if you will, for Caitlin Clark last night, according to most of the experts out there.
That's the way I have it, Scott. I went into watching last night's game telling myself, don't make too much or too little of this one game, her debut in the WNBA. Try to refrain from snap judgments about how she's going to translate and assimilate into the WNBA. Her statistical line, 20 points on 5 of 15 shooting, a debut record, 10 turnovers, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Listen, the Fever are not very good. They're rebuilding. They had 25 turnovers last night. Won 13 games last year. This team has a ways to go, and it may or may not happen this year. They will be back in action tomorrow night, but the Connecticut defense was absolutely stifling, suffocating. And all in all, I gave Clark a B minus.
I would have given her a C. I would have given her a C. For some passes that were going to be completed in college, against that type of a player, and that's not a slight against the average college player out there. Tried to do some of those passes on the run, and you just can't do that against the top-of-the-line professionals in the WNBA. And she threw one pass, a lob over the top, that I have never seen Caitlin Clark attempt that type of a pass before. But I thought Rebecca Lobo had a really, really good comment during the ball game, and that was the fact that the biggest difference that Caitlin Clark is going to face between the college game and then the professional game is that in college, when they came over, tried to double team and box her, it was a 5'8", 5'9 player on her usually. WNBA, it's going to be 6'2", 6'3", 6'4 player. And that makes a big difference. Plus the fact one of the better defenders, Carrington out of Stanford, covered Caitlin last night. And it's her third season in the WNBA. And you can tell the step up is pretty substantial. And again, I don't want to slight college basketball. That's one of the things that I had as far as observations is are concerned. The other thing is this, and a lot of people already after 1 of 40 games last night complaining about the pace and the play in the WNBA. Mark, you and I have told people many times, this is a completely different game than the college game. It is not as open. It is not up and down. It's got the shot clock, a lot less time to get a shot off. Even my wife watching it last night was saying, how come they don't pass it back out to Caitlin? Well, when you get it inside, the ball is usually going to go up and you don't really have time to get it back out. It's just a completely different game. It's a much more physical game. I think people saw that last night. Caitlin's going to adjust. It's just going to take time.
Hey, Scott, it's no slight to compare the college and pro games. I mean, pro is one thing. College is quite another. And Caitlin Clark and rookies and young players are just going to have to figure it out. And I think Caitlin Clark will. You've got this is the best of the best. It's big girl basketball, the best in that the league has to offer. Some of the best players in the world, many of the best players in the world. So I mean, it's not like playing Illinois Wesleyan. Sorry, whatever your nickname is, or Cole. Okay, I'll take that. You get my point. It's a step up, and. You know, it's a figuring out process, but she did score 20. Looked like an ordinary player in the first quarter and much of the first half. And frankly, I didn't think Indiana did a whole lot to spring her loose in terms of high ball screens and whatnot. But the coach obviously figures that there's four other players on the floor, including a very good post. So, I think Clark will figure it out. I don't know how soon Indiana will figure it out because that didn't look like a very good basketball team last night.
A lot of people weighing in, 319-366-1600 from saying, 9663 saying Caitlin looked tired last night. She's played basketball since last fall nonstop. Well, Kyle Huseman, when we had him on yesterday, and if you missed that conversation, go back and listen to it on our podcast, KGYMRadio.com, Apple, or Spotify. And he said that Caitlin Clark's basically this season lasted 6 months. And Jeff Linder also said that for the Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball team. And 9663 says Caitlin looked tired. I think she did look a little bit tired last night. And 3702 saying should have let her go to her graduation since she is an academic All-American. 98-96, people in the national media need to pump the brakes. It's one game. Keep in mind, Indiana had the first pick for a reason, as you mentioned, Mark. I agree that's not a great basketball team, certainly. Caitlin's going to get better. Leah Boston had a really, really bad game, and 27-57 agreeing with me. Connecticut going in is one of the – now, listen, I am not a WNBA expert, okay, I'm going to watch some games this year. I have not really watched in the past. Allegedly, Connecticut is one of the most physical teams out there. And I think it showed against an Indiana team, like you said, Mark, that's not one of the better ones in the WNBA. A few other texts to get here. And I agree with Matt as well, Matt in Fairfax. Caitlin's defense is going to have to get better at this level. I agree. Several times did not even try to defend, and they blew by her. Yeah, cannot have that happen. Cannot have that happen. Jason in Nebraska. I think one of the biggest things that Caitlin is going to have to adjust to is that the scoring load isn't all on her. She'll adjust and get better, and I would agree. How many, what, and when the season ends, Mark, in your crystal ball, what is your figure for scoring per game for Caitlin Clark?
Somewhere between 15 and 20, maybe on the high end of that. She, in, you know, preseason games, she averaged 16 in two games. That was hardly an indication, but she's off to a good start, at least points wise, right now. And, you know, I think the assists will get better as, you know, the two preseason games is not a great deal. And in terms of Caitlin Clark being tired, she's not the Lone Ranger. I mean, all these rookies have been playing for many months, Angel Reese and on and on and on. The difference is Clark's got so many other obligations, and that's her choice. But this is what she does. She's a basketball player.
She wouldn't want it any other way.
I didn't get the sense she was tired at all.
She wouldn't want it any other way. Seeing Caitlin on a weak team is going to take some time to get used to. The New York Liberty are next, and they may be the second team, best team in the WNBA. 3702 points out that the head coach for the Fever has 876 fewer wins in her career than Lisa Bluter does. I'm giving her a pass, though. It's tough to coach. It is tough to coach in pro sports. Was Caitlin a little nervous? I would have been nervous. Heck yeah. First time out there. It took Caitlin a while to score her first points. In fact, she had two fouls before she had 2 points in the ball game. It took a while.
Yeah, and I go back to what I said in the beginning, not to make too much or too little out of one performance, considering the team she plays on. And, you know, the texter mentioned the Liberty, and we saw the Connecticut last night. I watched the game that followed Indiana's game, and that was Vegas and Phoenix. Some truly great players on those two teams, and with an Iowa, you know, slant with Megan Gustafson and Kia Stokes, Kate Martin. Martin didn't play, but the other two did. But there's some truly great players in that game, Kelsey Plum, and on and on and on. So, yeah, this is a league with a lot of talent, and I guess give it some time with Clark. Connecticut won 27 games last year. Indiana won 13. And we mentioned the shoddy play in terms of turnovers and whatnot. And it's probably going to take Clark some getting used to not playing for a winner.
You're not going to beat the elementary school All-Stars if you're a pro team if you're going to turn it over 25 times, Mark. So
no.
That's pretty much the start and end of it. 86-99 was a good point. And I would agree, they watched both games last night, and there was a clear difference between the Fever and then Las Vegas and Phoenix. Those two teams play fast and shoot the lights out. Those are two of the better teams in the league. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. I mean, you got, I mean, Dinah Taurasi and others out there, which is another reason why, I mean, it's going to be interesting when the whole Olympic trials come up as well, Mark. Caitlin's got that in her future as well. It is not a slam dunk. She's going to be one of the 12 to make the U.S. Olympic team. Right now, anyway. I think down the line, for sure, in 4 years, if she chooses to.
I think it's an honor to be one of the 14. I personally don't think she's going to make the team. There are too many great players that will make a 12-person roster for the Olympics, and I just don't think USA basketball operates that way. Clark is, had a tremendous influence on college basketball, and early on in the program, Connecticut's arena was sold out last night. Other WNBA teams have moved games to larger arenas. She's going to impact this game, but the Olympics are a different story.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Yes, Bridget Carlson got some minutes, got some minutes last night. No, Rick, Lisa Bluter is not going to coach the Indiana Fever. I've already put my house on a bet once, Mark, on this program. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But, Kate's telling me, don't do it. Don't do it. But I would be 99.165% that Lisa Bluter is not going to coach the Indiana Fever.
You're ruling out a reverse mortgage then, huh?
I am. Yeah. One thing to watch is an Indiana team in their first four games, says Jason. They have Connecticut and the Liberty in their first four. As an WNBA watcher, they'll likely start off 0-4. Yeah, never know. Never know. I got a feeling tomorrow night that Caitlin's going to put on a much better show at home.
I think the coach ought to put on a better show, too.
To answer the question, I think you're going to see – I'm going to go with like 18, 19 points a game for Caitlin and maybe – 5-6 assists. She's not being asked to rebound in this particular realm for the Indiana Fever. And, shooting a high 30s as far as threes are concerned, I think that'd be a good rookie year for her.
It'd be an awesome rookie year, I think. And we're not far apart. I mean, I gave her game last night a B-. You gave it a C. Okay, we're pretty close. I said between 15 and 20, and maybe on the upper end of that, you said 18 and 19. So for better or worse, I think we're kind of on the same page there.
I think so. For 97-80, Caitlin and everybody else were complaining to the referees last night as far as that game is concerned. There was some very questionable officiating both ways in that game last night. There was some interesting moments. Let's just take that into consideration. And a good point, Mark, from 1992 here in the text line. If you got that.
Sorry, I didn't refresh soon enough for you. You're way ahead of me. 1992, going to take some time. She had such great chemistry with her Iowa teammates and currently very little with the Fever.
Very true. I think what they say, they've only had like 12 practices. Think about that. For a professional team of any sport to have that few, a number of practices, and they don't have off-season stuff because most of these players are playing overseas in the off-season. So maybe that's going to change. I don't know. If the WNBA gets all sorts of great television ratings, I mean, they've already got the chartered planes for this year. Maybe the pay scale goes up so that a lot of these superstars do not have to go overseas to play in the offseason.
Yeah, Megan Gustafson is one that has been back and forth in her career, and there are many others. Monica Zanano is overseas right now, and I'm sure trying to impress somebody in the WNBA and many others. Those two come to mind. But I think the WNBA is growing. I think the television package will be improved when it expires. I believe that's next year. It's one game, opening night. We'll see, compare, contrast to what the Fever and Caitlin Clark do tomorrow night.
Well, apparently TNT has nothing to do for the next few years since they are not going to have the NBA or the NBA on. So maybe go get the WNBA at this point. 350. Let's take a break. We'll come back. A little bit about the National Football League schedule leaks and a little bit about the PGA. Stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Hear that? The relaxing sound of ambient music in a yoga class. And if you were here, you'd listen to 15 people taking a deep breath in sync. But you're not here. Because your self-care happens out on the road, riding your motorcycle protected by Progressive. So if you ride, get a quote today and see if you could save with Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer. And find inner peace with a different pose called Palms on Handlebars. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states.
Need assistance with door and window projects? The Home Depot can help. From inspiration and materials to ordering and installation, our free Millwork virtual apron service can get you moving and doing. Plus, we speak Spanish too. Our associates can help you tackle complex jobs without you leaving the job site, saving you time and money. Call us at 1-833-HD-APRON or visit homedepot.com/MVA. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Scott Udash for your neighborhood Quick Start. And it is Wednesday, and that means eight-piece chicken, tenders or bone-in. They are on special today. So make your plans to stop on by at your neighborhood Quick Start on the way home. They are hand-breaded jumbo tenders. I've had them. They are excellent. And again, they are on special for $9.99 today. And while you're there at your neighborhood Quick Start, not only look into the eight-piece chicken, but also they've got Quickery Cheese Mountain Pizza. Assorted varieties, the thin crust, $6.99. Traditional crust is $9.99. Also, Kitchen Cravings bacon-wrapped pork loin, 99 cents each. Please, a limit of five. And for a dessert, Kitchen Cravings parfait, strawberry and mixed berry, $1.99, limit two. All those great, great buys and a whole lot more, just stop on by your neighborhood Quick Star. 352, back with you here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Spencer on Sports, that is coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. We'll hear from Jan Jensen and her introductory news conference from earlier on today. Jason lets us know, great deal on the streaming for the WNBA for he and his daughter, 10-year-old daughter, to watch. That is really cool. So have fun with that, Jason. Speaking of streaming, Mark, if you thought streaming was going to go away in any way, shape, or form, as far as college athletics, professional athletics is concerned, oh, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. Because if you have paid any attention to all the leaks going on, we know Thursday Night Football is on Amazon. We are going to have Christmas football on Netflix. Yeah, Netflix, Kate. Is that going to be like hosted by Quentin Tarantino? I don't know. Is he going to do the play-by-play? We'll have to wait and see. You got some crazy stuff out there. We know NASCAR is going to a streaming platform for some of their races next year. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has just been hired to be the analyst as far as those are concerned. You've got three separate streaming platforms right now for the National Football League. And I don't know, Mark. It's going to get deeper and deeper.
Yeah, it's here and it's growing. And I'm old school. I don't say get off my lawn, but I'm cool. I've got a cable provider. I don't have the Fire Stick. I don't have the smart TV, but I'm perfectly comfortable. If you want to stream NFL games, that's fine. I don't know whether it's a good idea or not, but Christmas Day, all the packages are open and you've eaten dinner and want to sit down and watch the Chiefs and Steelers or Ravens and Texans, you better have access to Netflix. And as you mentioned, Amazon Prime's involved and so on and so forth. It's not like clicking on CBS, NBC, whoever has the games at one time. And easy access, at least for a guy like me.
There will be some adjustments in the Unash family Christmas. Let's just put it that way, coming up for this year. Latest leak is for a doubleheader, a Monday Night Football doubleheader, apparently in week 4 on Monday night, September the 30th. Looks like it's going to be the Dolphins hosting Tennessee and also Seattle at Detroit. So that's the first of a possible twofer as far as Monday Night Football doubleheaders are concerned. The complete schedule is going to be released tonight at 7 o'clock. There are already about, two, maybe two of the teams that have their entire schedule out there on the internet, if you are so inclined. So this is kind of, I don't know. It's, if you want to find out, you can piece it all together, Mark.
Yeah, to be official tonight, we know all the games overseas. Five of them, I believe, in Brazil, London, Germany. And one of the things that struck me is not only the Bears going to London, but playing the Jags. And the Jaguars have back-to-back games in October in London, I think.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. What are we going to do without a Sunday night Dallas Cowboy game to open the season? What are we going to do in America? PGA gets started tomorrow. We'll talk about that when we reconvene tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Barry Abrams, the In the Gate podcast and horse racing expert for ESPN, is going to be joining us coming up as well. Looking forward to the PGA, Mark. Sounds like Friday is kind of the iffy day as far as rain and the weather is concerned. But really good golf course and a pretty good field. And who's your pick?
Again, it's harder than hell to pick a winner in a PGA tournament. It's had some outliers, Rich Beam and Sean McKeel and on and on, but I just think guys like McIlroy and Scheffler and Koepka are clearly above the rest. I have to go with Scheffler until somebody beats him.
I'm going to go out on a slight limb. I think he's going to win a major, maybe a nondescript one that we're not going to remember in 20 years. And he's due, and he's playing well. I'm going to go with Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood. How about that? So mark off Tommy Fleetwood. We also had our annual How's Brian Harman Going to Do text. I think he will be there for the weekend. Mark, talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
Spencer on Sports coming your way next, right here on KGYM.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. We all have something to get off our chest. Therapy is a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down so you can get